2. We are all just passing through this valley of sorrows. That's what we call it in the seventh petition. We're on a road trip. It'd be silly to be invested, to be tied to a town you're just passing through. Even if you stayed a night, 2, 3, what's it to you? What's going on here? This is not your home. The 5th century Collect states that our goal is to so pass through things temporal that we lose not things eternal. This is in line with Paul's words in 2 Corinthians 4:18. We fix our eyes on what is not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Jesus' priceless treasure. That's a big thing to sing, an even bigger one to mean. Jesus is worth more than everything you own, have, are. Really? Or isn't this just hyperbolic? Not on your life, rather on his. Jesus isn't just priceless. He's worth my soul, my life, my all. That's what we sing elsewhere. Did you notice the all features of the parables? The first guy sold all he had. The pearl merchant sold all things. The net caught all kinds of fish. Then Jesus asked, "Have you understood all things?" So Jesus is your treasure beyond all else. You know we're in Ananias and Sapphira territory here, don't you? Say Jesus is your treasure above all else, and he's not, and that can get you killed. Read Acts 5. Trying to imitate Barnabas, who sold land and gave all the proceeds to the church, Ananias and Sapphira, this husband and wife, pretended to do the same. They say they gave all things, but they only gave some and ended up giving their life for lying to the Holy Spirit. Be clear, there was no requirement for anyone to sell any property or to give all the proceeds to the church. Peter makes that clear when questioning husband and wife separately. They're pretending they did. That was the problem. And that's not how it is with Jesus. It's like that old Jack Benny bit. The stick-up man says, "Your money or your life." And Benny pauses and then says, I'm thinking. You can't have two priceless treasures. And Jesus won't be second. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" See, we don't recognize ourselves in that equation because most people lose their soul for just a piece of the world. Just a few minutes, fun in a fling, a lie on a tax form. A casual, painless, harmless, putting Jesus second. That means Jesus is not your priceless treasure after all. Pun intended. Have you ever been tangled in barbed wire, a briar patch, or your own tackle box? Every which way you move, you get grabbed again. That's the temporal world we're trying to pass through. There are 10,000 snags and barbs and hooks to snag us. You find deer and calves dead in tangled barbed wire. They could not free themselves from that world, and they struggled to death trying. And we can't free ourselves from this world either, no matter how long we sing Jesus' priceless treasure. In the second parable, we're not the pearl. If we cast ourselves in the role of the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, then we're worth all to Jesus. Well, we are and we aren't. The Lord tells the Old Testament church, the Lord did not choose or set his affection on you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you are the fewest of all made peoples. As for us, we're like how the angel of the Lord describes the high priest. We're a brand snatched from the fire. Actually, we're more like the aged Indian. After being converted, he was asked to explain what happened. He picked up an earthworm, placed it in a pile of leaves, lit the leaves on fire. The flames worked their way up to where the worm was struggling in the center of the burning pile, and the old chief suddenly plunged his hand into the center of the burning leaves, snatching out the worm. Holding the worm gently in his hand, he said, "Me, that worm." One of the changes made in Luther's Small Catechism in 1991, was that Jesus redeemed what Jesus redeemed. I memorized, I was a lost and condemned creature. They changed it to lost and condemned person. Now, from what I can tell from the original, creature or person is accurate. But when I was memorizing this, the movie The Creatures from the Black Lagoon, we had just aired on broadcast TV. On black and white TV, that black and white creature stood out. Right before my eyes was what I was and what Jesus redeemed me from. The world beckons you to its treasure of pleasure. The devil tells you, if God really loved you so much, many things would be better. And your own sinful flesh sings with Toby Keith in 2001, I want to talk about me, I want to talk about number one. Or we sing with John Denver from 1975, more than anything else, I'm sorry for myself. But we're no prize, we're no treasure, and you're sure not the one pearl worth everything the merchant has. But Jesus, nevertheless, did give all of himself to the devil and death by taking up God's law given to man. Jesus obligated himself to keep them. Here you should hear working in a coal mine from 1966 or Dolly Parton's 1980 working 9 to 5. But see, that song's really too bright. Jesus was tempted in all ways. We are in this world that was in rebellion against God and faced the devil who tempted at his weakest time. But he kept all the law. But then he gave his soul, his life, his self to torture, to damnation, and to death. He became a worm and no man, that's what Jesus says in Psalm 22, to redeem us. And no one took him out of the fire. Now, doesn't this gospel snag you just a bit? He's the true priceless treasure, gives it all to snatch us out of the world, heading for a hell faster than the proverbial snowball. But we pause here. We dawdle there. We get caught up in the politics, values, life of this world that is passing away. We're stopping to rearrange the deck chairs on the Titanic while Jesus beckons us to so pass through these temporal things to his eternal place in the lifeboat. Now for the peace de resistance. We're ending where we did last week. No hypocrites allowed. The biggest threat to passing through is hypocrisy. How is this about hypocrisy? Follow the parables. One treasure in the field is worth buying the whole field with all Jesus had. The merchant finds one pearl and sells all he had to buy it. These are parables of what the salvation of just one individual is worth to God. But then Jesus tells us the tale of the dragnet. Just because you're caught by the kingdom of heaven does not mean you're going to heaven. All kinds of fish are caught by heaven's net, but only some are saved. The rest, they're thrown back. Oh, not into water, but into the fiery furnace where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And like 2 weeks ago, see the key role of understanding here. In the parable of the sower, the one who receives the word with joy as soon as the temptation came is the one who fell away. Follow that Greek word synemi through Matthew 13. Seeing and hearing parables, those outside the church don't understand. Verse 13. That fulfills Isaiah's prophecy that they'll keep on hearing but will not understand. Verse 14. If their hearts hadn't become dull, they would have understood. Verse 15. If you hear the word and don't understand, the devil comes and snatches it away from you. 13:19. The good soil is the man who hears the word and understands. Verse 23. And then comes synemi in our text. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asks. And what do they say? Yes, they replied. Duh, only a fool would have replied no. I'm not the brightest bulb in the fixture, but after all the talk of the importance of understanding and the judgment on not understanding, even I know, don't say no. But you see, a hypocrite would say yes. Back when the millennials were first coming of age, one of you told me they don't like to be told no, and some of them might never have been told no in their life. Now that proved true, And they would easily say yes. I asked about half dozen or so millennials over 3 years to come to an adult confirmation class. Every single one of us said yes. Not one of them came. If you are saying yes when you don't really understand, or yes when you mean no, you're a hypocrite. Read Matthew 23 for the Lord's judgment on what happens to hypocrites. Here's a clue. That worm doesn't get snatched from the burning hell. You really have to have gone either saning or shrimping to get the picture of the dragnet. There are two other Greek words in the New Testament for nets. This is neither. This is the one for a dragnet. There are two ways to fish this. Either by letting it down into the water and drawing it together in a narrowing circle and then into the boat, or as a semicircle drawn to the shore. The text doesn't say all kinds of fish are caught, but every kind of thing. In seines, you're going to catch shoes, cans, sticks. In shrimp trawling, it's crabs, octopi, croakers, and other living things. The good fish are kept. We're not good fish by nature, but we're reborn by holy baptism. There the lost and condemned creature is drowned, and a new man created in Christ Jesus rises and walks about in a new life. Tertullian, second century church father, said, "But we, little fishes, after the example of our ichthus, Jesus Christ, are born in water." A simple drawing of a fish, that's on the cover of your bulletin, was used in early Christian symbolism to identify each other when Christianity was illegal. The Greek letters for the word fish, ichthus, are an acronym for Jesus Christ, God's Son, Savior. So, Tertullian said that we little fish are born in baptismal water following the great fish Jesus. He goes on to say, "Nor have we safety in any other way than by permanently abiding in water." So, the devil knew full well how to kill the little fishes by taking them away from the water. We're safe in our baptism. Step out of your baptism by defending any sin, excusing any sin, pretending you're not a sinner when you in fact are, or pretending you understand and believe when you don't, and you'll find yourself, unlike Garth Brooks, standing inside the fire, right next to that earthworm. Don't go there. What do we say in baptism 4? By daily contrition and repentance, we remember our baptism and die and rise all over again. That's why Lutherans have been directed since 1529 to remember our baptism each day and each night by making the sign of the cross upon ourselves. The cross is the mark of the one who has passed through, and also of those now passing through things temporal, then they're not losing the things eternal. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, and a life everlasting. Amen.